From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
I'm so glad you tuned in with us. And hey, I want to start today's show by informing those who are not aware yet. You know, we mentioned it once or twice. But really haven't mentioned it much, and we will much more over the weekend. At KLYT, our leader and general manager, Chip Lusko, earlier this week graduated to heaven. So many people will be missing Chip, but we know where he is, and we're going to celebrate his life this Monday, Calvary Church in Albuquerque. Details are on the web at calvarynm.church. And you can also go to our website at klyt.fm, and you'll see where we're honoring him there on our homepage, and there's a hyperlink to the information for that celebration of life. But 10 a.m. on Monday morning, we'll also be airing that right here on 88.3 FM and, of course, streaming at klyt.fm. So thanks to those who've already reached out. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit awkward just pressing on and doing things. But, as far as radio and KLYT, this is exactly what he would expect of us and want us to be doing, continuing the work of the gospel and continuing to share with you. So thanks to all of those, again, who's already shared and prayed for the Lusko family. Please continue to do so. And please join us in celebrating Chip on Monday. Those details again at calvarynm.church or on our website at klyt.fm. Full hour today with Brian Cochran, our Friday financial update. We're always blessed to have about 10 or 15 minutes with Brian, keeping us well informed at looking through finances, the finances that are God's, that he gives us opportunity to be stewards of. But through a biblical worldview lens, we're able to do that with Brian regularly. And I always look forward to about a monthly full hour with you, Brian. We're going to do that today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's fun. I feel like it's been a long time since I've been in studio with you. So. Yeah,
well, you've been real busy. You're every time I talk to you, you're out getting the work done. And looking forward to today. You know, it's a topic we've certainly touched on, but almost can't enough, Brian, as far as education and things changing in the landscape. But we're going to talk again today on the topic of interest rates.
Right. And we have touched on this over the last few years, but there's been so much change. And now we're in a period where things aren't changing as much today, but everyone's really trying to look to the next year or two and determine where interest rates may be going and how that might change. So I thought it'd be worth revisiting that topic.
And good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an area we'll talk about more about how often people get it wrong. But we always joke about we try not to be prophets in our firm because the biblical penalty of prophecy gone wrong is death by stoning. And so we're not interested in that. But we do try to read what's happening today and educate folks on providing some context of what's going on in the world of finance.
Yeah. And again, we'll spend the full hour. Brian, for those who are tuning in and maybe thinking they won't be with us for the entire hour, let's try to keep them here. What do you anticipate by the end of the hour? Essentially, we will have covered.
Yeah, so we'll start by introducing who determines the interest rate environment that we live in, and we'll talk more about where those interest rates impact our daily lives in terms of how we manage money and what's going on in the economy and the economic highs and lows and opportunities that we may experience as folks living in this nation. And then we'll talk more about where this might be heading going forward and sort of what are the different paths that may be ahead of us and what that might mean for all of us economically and personally.
And then some application, I'm sure, before we wrap things up. Well, let's start with a little bit of education or a reminder on exactly what you mentioned. How do the interest rates get set?
Yeah, so when we talk about interest rates, there's a lot of different things happening that might impact interest rates and the different kinds of interest rates. So most people, when they think of interest rates, they think of the rate they pay on their their mortgage or on their credit cards or what they might earn on their checking or savings or money market funds. So when we talk about interest rates today, what we'll mostly focus on is the Fed funds rate, which is the interest rate set by the Federal Reserve, specifically set by the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC. And that's a group of 12 members that get together about eight times a year, and they set the interest rates. And why does that matter? Why is that important? Well, a lot of us in our daily lives don't appreciate how much the interest rate environment, as it's changing, can impact what's happening around us. For example, if you live in Albuquerque and in most major cities, you look around, there's tons of apartment buildings going up, right? You see all this construction. Well, the ability to finance projects such as an apartment building or an office building or a new school, a lot of that's dictated by the cost of financing, you know, to issue a bond as a government or to go get a loan at a bank. A lot of those rates are impacted by the decisions of these 12 members in the FOMC. It also affects us daily because the interest we earn when we look down at our savings account or our CDs and money market accounts, as well as the interest we pay on things like our credit card balances, are dictated by these members. So when we see an environment like today, and we talked, I think, a couple months ago about credit card debt.
Yeah.
Now, the interest paid on credit cards right now is higher than it's been in a long time. That's a result of the decisions made by this group. So it definitely impacts each American in its own way.
So, I mean, essentially in the past, too, to simplify things, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, we said these are the guys with the foot and the brake on inflation or not on the economy.
Right. You know, we like to attribute economic prosperity or struggles to the president or to Congress. But really, when it comes down to it, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, has just as much, if not more, influence on the direction of the economy than folks we elect in Washington. And it's because they dictate these interest rates that can either drive or restrict economic activity. And I love that analogy, Steve. Yeah, we talk about the economy being a vehicle, and the Fed lately has had their foot more on the brake than the gas.
Yeah.
But when times of crisis come up, like when COVID happened and the economy was shut down, the Fed has the ability to put their foot on the gas.
Now, more specifically over, say, the last 12 months, what have we seen them doing?
Yeah, really, the current interest rate policy we're living through today started in the spring of 2022. And that's when the Federal Reserve decided that inflation was getting too high, and it certainly was. I think all of us agree the last few years inflation has been a problem in our lives. So the way they responded to that was by dramatically and quickly increasing interest rates at a rate we haven't seen in our lifetime. So we saw this huge increase in interest rates, which did create some economic disruption, and there are certain parts of the economy that are hurting because of that. Overall, the economy has been able to push forward, and we can talk later about why that might be. So where we are today is the interest rate is, they always provide a range between 5.25 and 5.5% on the federal funds rate. So that drives, again, your savings accounts, money markets, CDs, and then your short-term debts like a home equity line of credit or the credit card interest rate you pay on any balance you keep on your credit card month to month. So we're at this higher level. So for context, we spent most of the last 15 years with that rate pretty close to zero. So very quickly went from a 0% interest rate environment where we didn't earn anything on our savings, and we were driven up to this 5.25% to 5.5%. And we've now plateaued there for several months. And that's the expectation, is we are now at the highest rates we'll see in this economic cycle.
Okay, so before we go to a break, I do want to remind the listener, Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates is going to be with us for the full hour today on our Friday Financial Update. Go to johnmoore.com, and we always mention the Insights tab. It is a no-cost resource to you. Great information archived there that you can go check out. And I'm guessing, Brian, if it's not already there, a lot of what we talk about today we'll see shortly posted there.
Yep, it's coming up quick here. In the next couple of days, we'll have this live on the website.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. And Brian, let's keep them through the break. Where are we headed on the other side of the break?
Yeah, so I think what we'll talk about next is the economic implications of the current interest rates, more specifically, what is happening in the economy today as a result of this change in interest rate policy the last 2 years.
And we'll expect the listeners to go, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We'll get back after the break with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. That's coming up after this on ABQ Connect. All right, thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect daily at 1 o'clock. I want to invite you to tune in over the weekend. Remember, you can catch the Gospel Brunch every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. We start with the appetizer served up by your host Kelly at 8 a.m., which is a featured teacher each week. This week, we'll hear from Jack Hibbs, a message he's called Epicenter, what's really going on in the Middle East. And then at 11:30, the main course is served up. We'll hear from Skip Heitzig continuing through the current series In the Room. Then 1 o'clock, our dessert for Gospel Brunch served up, a full hour of a featured worship artist. Don't miss that. It's all Sundays with your host, Kelly, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The full hour today on ABQ Connect spent with Brian Cochran. He's in studio with us for our Friday financial update. And we're walking through interest rates. We've done this in the past, but really taking a close look and seeing the impact. And by the end of today's broadcast, you know, how practically you can dodge, parry, weave, or whatever you need to do to be fiscally responsible with the resources God's given you, as Brian looks at it as a certified kingdom advisor. And Brian, before we jump back into the discussion on interest rates, a reminder to those who may not be familiar with a CKA.
Yeah, so a certified kingdom advisor is an advisor who's gone through training on the application of biblical principles in the world of financial planning and advice. And so we partner with an organization called Kingdom Advisors. And they provide just wonderful content to my team and to me as advisors. And we do a monthly study group that we lead in our office that there's advisors from all over the city that join that. We also lead a study group near our office in Arizona. So we really enjoy that organization. They provide us exceptional training and really equip us to communicate those principles to our clients.
Yeah, and we should thank them because we get the advantage of hearing from you on a weekly basis on our Friday financial update. Let's jump back into our conversation on interest rates. Where are we headed?
Yeah, so we talked about who is the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, the group of 12 that set rates. So now let's talk about, we touched on a little bit, but let's go deeper into where do these interest rate changes show up in our lives and what's happened recently around the economy and places where that interest rate change of the last 2 years has really hit us. And the first is what we talked about in the first segment, which is why are the rates high now compared to 2 years ago? And it's because of a response to inflation. So what I want to clarify here is high rates don't cause inflation. It's the high inflation causes the federal, the FOMC to increase the interest rates. So inflation is the cause and interest rates are the effect. So, we all know that inflation's been a problem. It's been well publicized, and we just feel it. You go to the grocery store. I saw an article the other day. You know, some things like eggs are 80% more expensive than they were just a few years ago. And so, for families like mine, where I've got two teenage boys, we notice when food gets expensive because it's a big piece of our expense pie.
Yeah, and even if you're trying to, frugal, and you've got the chicken coop out back, well, the price of the feed. Mm-hmm. It's everything, Brian.
Yep, everything's expensive.
Can you tell us something that hasn't?
Everything's gone up. The only things we've seen that have tilted down a little bit recently would be used car prices, and that's only because they got so exceptionally high that they've pulled back, some. Right. But they're still much higher than they were 3 years ago. So that's one. Some areas of travel have started to pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's a few areas of goods, but in general, the things that we buy the most, our energy, our food, transportation, and housing, are all just much more expensive. So that's another area where when inflation's high, we also see wages tend to grow, and that creates a cycle. Higher wages drives higher inflation in turn drives higher wages. So for some of you, you may see that your wages have gone up, but maybe just not enough to offset the increased cost of living. So that's part of this new environment we've been living in. And for context, inflation was less than 2%, basically from the financial crisis up until about 2021, 2022. So we lived through a good 10 plus years where inflation wasn't really part of the conversation.
Are you talking about between 2008 and, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah, so the financial crisis that really sort of bottomed in early 2009.
Yeah.
We didn't have a very robust economic recovery coming out of that. So that kept inflation pretty muted because the economy never really got hot and took off.
And only 2% in all those years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, less than 2% per year that whole period.
Oh, okay. Annually.
Yeah, that's okay. Good clarification. So that's one part of interest rates that we all see is the bad part there with inflation. The other bad part we see is the cost of financing. So interest rates on credit cards are the highest they've been in well over 20 years. And so if you are carrying a credit card balance, you feel that. You see the difference. And if you are putting more money on your credit card because of the high cost of goods, and then you turn around and you're being charged more interest on that balance, it's sort of a double whammy. And we see that with the interest rates and the credit card balances of our lowest earning neighbors. If you look at America right now, the bottom half of income earners are really struggling with that combination of the high cost of debt and the requirement in their lifestyle to use debt to meet their monthly expenses.
Was there much of a difference in that interest rate between, I would consider that unsecured debt,
mm-hmm.
For years, cars were available, on approved credit at zero.
Yeah. And we have seen that change as well. You see less of those 0% financing opportunities with new cars, and then used car rates, used to be able to get a 2 to 4% for a 4 to 5 year car loan. Now you're looking at much higher than that. Mm. So those rates are impacting Americans because as the Federal Reserve increases those rates get passed along in the form of debt payments. The other one I touched on briefly in the first segment is home equity lines of credit. Those are variable rates most often. So if you had maybe you took a line of credit to do a home improvement or make some other expense, if you have a balance there, you may have seen that jump up. So the cost of debt. The other big one we see that has some influence from all this is mortgages, of course. So mortgages bottomed during the COVID era at kind of the 2.5%, let's say, for a 30-year mortgage, which is, historically just unbelievable. Now that rate is higher. Mortgages are impacted by a lot of factors. The federal rate that we've been talking about is one of them. Bond rates and mortgage-backed securities, they're all these complex instruments that drive the mortgage market. But we've gone from that 2.5% rate to we've been hovering just above and below 7% now for the last year or so. That really impacts home affordability. And the income required to buy a basic home in most communities in this country has almost doubled. You basically need to make twice as much money as you did 2 years ago to buy a house because the prices of the homes have gone up. But mostly it's a big driver, a big contributor is the interest rate going up.
Very unusual in the time I can remember. We've had conversations about, depending on the individual, it might be a time to consider renting in the right. Mm-hmm. I just can't remember, ever a time where, it was just always, if you can get into a home, man. Makes mm-hmm. a big difference. It's this very unusual.
Usually, historically, when home affordability is this poor, when home it's so hard to buy a house, that's not a good sign for future prices in a home. So if you don't want to stretch yourself right now and compromise your financial security to barely get into a house,
right?
Because there's a good chance that house may not appreciate as much as we've seen in the past.
And here locally over the last year or two, did inventory play into that as well?
Yeah. Inventory is a huge part of the price increase.
And is that unique to our market here in New Mexico or Albuquerque more specifically, or is that something nationwide?
Most major metro areas struggled with inventory. Home builders sort of froze up when COVID first happened and everything shut down because they all have post-traumatic stress from 2008. So half of all home builders went out of business in 2008, and those that survived had to take extreme actions and barely made it out, many of them. So when the economy looked very uncertain at the beginning of COVID, a lot of them pulled back and they didn't want to build as many houses because they didn't know what the economy might hold. So they pulled back a bit. And so now they've started to build more, but it's really tough to keep up with the demand right now as millennials become more homeowners and so forth. So there's a penalty to these higher rates in that all of these financing things that we do in our lives every day, which the economy is very dependent upon, become restrictive. And by the way, that's the point. the reason they increase the interest rates is to slow down economic activity. They want people to buy less houses. They want people to charge less on their credit cards. They want economic activity to slow down to relieve this pressure that creates inflation.
Okay, so to here's the layperson summary. Mm-hmm. the FOMC says, they raise interest rates, in this kind of a economic landscape. And the consumer is going, whoa. And the FOMC is going, exactly.
Yes. Yep. Yep. So, we're feeling the pain, but it's for a reason.
Yeah.
And so they can, if they continue to see the economy run too hot, they could continue to raise rates. What we've seen so far is the Federal Reserve has signaled that the rates today are sufficient to slow the economy down. They just need to let more time pass, and then inflation will continue to slide down, which it has been moving lower. Prices aren't necessarily going down in most parts of the economy, but they're going up less quickly. So that's a big benefit to all of us when the dust settles.
So, listening to what you're saying, it's probably obvious answer to this, but in all those areas that were impacted when interest rates went up, what kind of person didn't feel that so much?
If you're someone who doesn't have revolving debt, which is credit cards and home equity lines of credit, things that are variable rate debts. If you didn't have that, if you had no debt, but you do have assets, you actually became a beneficiary of this policy. And I'll explain why. All those negatives we talked about, those increased interest rates, the positives that offset that are more for the saver. So if you had a bunch of money in the bank in 2016, for example, you were probably earning 0 to 0.25 on that. A quarter of a percent interest.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can earn 5 to 5.5% on that same savings. So your interest rate has gone up significantly to your benefit. So that's one of the arguments against this type of policy sometimes, is you're hurting the lower income people because they get hurt more by inflation, and they also get hurt more when interest rates go up. Whereas the high income earners who have saved money, our assets have all appreciated since the market bottomed in 2020. And we can put money in safe places like a CD, a money market account, and we can now earn an interest rate that's pretty competitive. So you could be a beneficiary of these rates if your finances are structured that way.
Okay. We're close enough to a break,
that's great.
Okay. Brian's going to stay with us through the break. If you just tuned in, Brian Cochran is with us from John Moore Associates. He's typically with us, usually the final segment Friday, but sometime on Friday on ABQ Connect, we get our Friday financial update once a month or so. We're blessed to have Brian in studio with us for a full hour to cover information like this. And which, by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this, remember, it gets archived at abqconnect.online. And the topic that the information we're covering today, Brian and his staff will post at johnmoore.com on the Insights tab shortly. So I'll be watching for all of that. And actually, even as you consider all of what we're talking about, or another subject that would impact your finances, go to that Insights tab, and there's a search option to find all kinds of topics that have been covered. And it's a free resource. That's why we often mention it. You just need to pay for your internet access, however you're doing that. But listen, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates, right after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, a reminder that ABQ God's Talent, it's really a free evening out. It's coming up a week from tonight at Hoffmantown Church, and it's a Christian talent search. Essentially, over the last few weeks, middle schoolers and high schoolers all over New Mexico turning in their auditions via the web on video, and the top 10 finalists will be performing next Friday night at Hoffmantown Church in Albuquerque, Harper and Ventura, and it's free to attend. I went last year, a great family outing, really a good night out. And if you want to find out more about it, go to abqgodstalent.com. Our full hour today with Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates, and the conversation we're having, by the way, it will be archived. I already mentioned that once. But that done at abqconnect.online. And in our last segment, we talked about rising interest rates, you know, where did that show up in our lives? And we're going to continue our discussion on interest rates, which, by the way, on johnmoore.com, on the Insights tab, watch for all of this information to be posted there shortly. So, Brian, let's press on. Where are we headed?
Well, let's talk about where the Fed might be going from here. So everything we've talked about is how we got to the place we are today, or the interest rates, the Fed funds rate is around 5.25 to 5.5. And the Federal Reserve has been quite clear in the last few announcements they've made, starting late last fall, that that's the peak. They're probably not going to raise rates higher than they are today. Well, what does that mean? And so the big debate going on in the economy, it's the multi-trillion dollar question, is will the Federal Reserve stay at these rates for a while? And that's what we call the higher for longer approach. Or will they start to drop rates now that inflation's getting more tame and there may be economic bumps ahead?
So here's a question. And looking forward, and of course we're speculating, obviously. But you know, when you put weight on, you know, so it can go on real quick. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't always come. You know, typically comes off a lot slower.
And that's a good analogy for what the federal government and Federal Reserve did during COVID, is they put a lot of weight on. They stimulated the economy heavily, and now they've been working against that to try to remove that excess weight in the economy that's been driving this inflation. So let's talk about the case for either one. Let's first talk about the case for higher for longer, where these rates remain high.
Okay.
And then we can talk about the competing case that, and I think both have a good argument, where rates may start to decline soon. So the case for higher for longer is mostly the fear that inflation could become a problem once again if the Federal Reserve buckles and starts to lower rates. That will stimulate the economy and could stimulate inflation. And there's a very strong precedent for this worry. Back in the late 70s, when we had a huge explosion of inflation, the Federal Reserve came out and they did what they did the last 2 years that we just experienced. They raised rates quickly. And as you might expect, the economy slowed. And interest rates, the high interest rates pushed inflation lower. So the Federal Reserve's actions worked. They put the foot on the brake, as we talked about earlier, and they slowed the economy and slowed inflation. And as inflation declined, they sort of, you know, pat each other on the back and said, hey, look, we beat inflation. Now we can cut rates and let the economy run again. And when they did that, inflation came back with a vengeance. And we ended up with this extreme level of inflation that we saw late 70s through the early 80s that was really difficult to battle after it flared up.
For me, to put it in, you know, the timeline, are we talking about the time, like 2 hour wait to get gasoline, things like that?
Carter era presidency. Yeah. And so so one of the concerns, and the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, who's sort of the head of this group that makes these decisions and is the public figure for the Federal Reserve, he's been very clear from very early on when he's been starting this fight against inflation, is he does not want to make that same mistake. So what does that mean? That means there's a good case for keeping these interest rates this high for a long time. What does that mean for the economy? It means your credit card rate's still going to be high. It means your savings rate will still be high. It means your mortgage rates for new mortgages will be high.
Yeah, you know, there's a part of me that, you know, doesn't want to see higher rates, but there's a part of me that, you know, I feel like those higher rates create some discipline and training for us to make better financial decisions. I mean, you know, basically which you kind of touched on that in the last
As individuals thing. And as businesses, I would note, you know, a lot of investors, when rates are very low, people become very speculative, because when money is quote unquote free, when you can obtain debt with no cost, it's very easy to be ridiculously speculative. And we've seen booms and busts happen because of that. So that's the case for higher for longer, is we need to be very focused on making sure inflation's defeated. I'll mention that usually what finally defeats inflation is a full-on recession. And a recession is when you have two consecutive quarters of negative economic activity, where the economy is shrinking rather than growing. Right now, the economy has been running at a pretty good clip. And so the case for higher for longer every time we have good economic data, that supports this case that we should be more worried about inflation than economic growth, because the economy is doing fine, but we've got to make sure inflation doesn't flare back up. So let's keep these rates at least where they are now, maybe not increase, but keep them here for another year, you know, at least 6 months. You know, if you look back at the beginning of the year, the expectation expressed by different markets was that the interest rates would be cut several times, even starting with last month. And that hasn't happened yet. So the economy has been running better than anyone expected at this point. And I have some hypotheses around why that's happening. But the, you know, what we're seeing right now is that higher for longer starting to make more and more sense every time we get a good economic report. For example, this morning, the jobs numbers came out for last month, and they were about 50% higher than expected. We had a lot more jobs created in March than anyone expected to happen. So there's a lot pushing for that higher for longer narrative today.
When I hear that, when I hear reports like that, Brian, and you're more, much more, obviously much more dialed, I always fear spin. You know, how much of that is, you know, we'll hear an administration say, look what we've done. Yeah, but look what you created. You know, where is it in comparison to, you know, where it was at the pit?
Yeah. And right now, those numbers are objectively good. The spin on that has been that each month we tend to have good job numbers recently, but then those numbers get revised, they get refined in the following months, and they keep getting decreased. So you'll have a good jobs number in January, but by March, they've looked back and decreased that number a bunch. So the big headline is when the jobs number is released, no one talks about the revisions.
Right.
So that's been the biggest knock on the jobs numbers, for example. But overall, I think it's hard to argue that the economy is not running fairly well right now. Inflation is the biggest concern for the average American. But if you want a job, you can probably get one. There have been some layoffs in certain sectors in the economy the last 2 years, but many of those people have found other employment. That doesn't mean it's all sunshine and roses, but it's not a struggling economy right now. Inflation is still the greater concern for the Federal Reserve.
So higher for longer is one school of thought.
Mm-hmm. And we'll mention, and I think we'll have one more segment today, yeah, we'll mention sort of what you might do with your money if you believe that could be the case. So stick around for that. And then the other argument is that the Fed will need to cut rates. That argument is, if you look at a chart of inflation, inflation is dropping very quickly. Again, that doesn't mean prices are going down. It means they're going up less quickly.
Yeah.
So it's disinflation is what it's called when inflation is slowing. And so the economy is experiencing disinflation that suggests that the Fed has maybe already completed their mission, that inflation's under control. And they should maybe then start cutting rates, you know, slowly and steadily later this year. The reason why that's so important is the interest rate changes the Federal Reserve might make, they take 9 to 18 months to really work their way into the economy. So if we...
It's a rudder. It's a little rudder on a big ship.
Yeah. It's very difficult to steer the economy, and you don't really know what exactly was an impact of interest rates versus other things happening in the economy. So the thought there is, hey, we got to be careful we don't keep these rates too high for too long, or we could put ourselves in an unnecessary recession. And why do that if the inflation fight is won? When we got to December, January, a few months back, that was really the prevailing narrative. Again, most people, you know, who sort of follow this and look at the interest rates, there was a strong opinion amongst those who felt, okay, the inflation battle's won, the Fed's going to cut rates pretty aggressively by the middle to end of 2024. Now that's been pushed out a bit, and people are starting to become more and more content with the idea that maybe higher for longer is the right narrative. All it takes is a couple bad economic data points, and the rate cut starts to make more sense. And I would note there's also a political pressure to cut rates.
Mm.
And a lot of people try to say there's no combination or no influence of politics into what the Federal Reserve might decide, that they're independent.
Yeah, politics don't affect the justice system either.
Exactly, yes. All very neutral. but it seems reasonable to think that if the Federal Reserve wants to seem neutral, they would either keep rates where they are or start to drop them to support the economy leading up to November's election. So every listener can make their own impression on what they think about that, and whether the Federal Reserve might be incentivized to pick sides. But that is a strong narrative as well, is does it make sense to drop rates to keep the economy running well and keep sentiment positive and strong heading into November's election? So there's this tension, and this is what markets do. They try to weigh future outcomes, and it's a voting machine. There's tons of people making bets on these interest rates through the investments they make, and it tries to forecast where is this heading. And right now, again, we're starting to see more and more people tend to be shifting maybe slightly to the higher for longer camp, which is the one, you know, our firm's been on for quite a while now. We feel like the higher for longer has been the right thing. And that if you look at history, the Federal Reserve will stay higher for too long, meaning that the Federal Reserve will eventually keep these rates higher until a recession is created. And then in a panic and a knee-jerk reaction to that recession, they'll not only cut rates, but they'll cut them very, very quickly. And so you'll go from maybe 5.25 to 5.5 to 2, you know, almost overnight. So rates tend to go up stairs and down an elevator. Or sometimes down an elevator shaft. So they really plummet. But that's sort of the battle that's happening right now in the investment world.
Okay. And as we, we bring up the possibility of recession, I'll ask the Captain Obvious, there's an answer to this, but I'll let you address it. Speak to those who talk about things that are recession proof.
Yeah. The hard thing with saying any specific investment or approach is recession proof is every recession is different. And we tend to, in our personal lives, but also in our finances, we tend to fight the last battle. For example, you have the 2008 financial crisis that was created by rampant mortgage speculation and real estate issues.
It's short-term memory.
So everyone thinks, well, that's what happened last time. So if we can just prevent that risk, then we won't have a recession. Well, maybe the next recession is something totally different. Maybe it's because there's a massive terrorist attack on our electrical infrastructure or our data infrastructure. Maybe it's because interest rates get so high or because energy prices spike out of control and it ripples through the economy. Who knows?
How many cargo ships running into bridges does it take?
Yeah, exactly. There's all these different factors, and that's why the future is always uncertain. And in response to that, that's why we believe in diversification. Diversification, owning lots of different investments and lots of different approaches, that's our way to acknowledge that we're ignorant as to what's going to happen next.
And you know what? Let's tie it into really what you teach and preach. Although all these things are unpredictable, there is thoughts towards financial management that are transcendent.
Exactly. And diversification is one of those. Yeah. It's true for all people, no matter what your net worth. It is wise to not put all your eggs in one basket, not to only find success financially in one specific economic outcome. Because think of the last 5 years, all the uncertainty we've lived through, all the wild ups and downs and the things that you never would have seen coming, risks and benefits that we never would have projected. If you were only betting in one area, there's a chance you missed a lot of what's happened the last few years in terms of positives.
All right. Listen, if you just tuned in, a full hour today with Brian Cochran on our Friday Financial Update. Brian with John Moore Associates. Go to johnmoore.com. And the content we're covering today will eventually end up on the Insights shortly. We'll end up on the Insights tab there. But there's other valuable topics to check out there. And it's a no-cost feature of their website that you can go and really get some good insight into. Well, that's Insights. Yep. Just go to the Insights tab. Enough said. We're going to take a break and come back. And I know, Brian, you teased a little bit about what's coming up. Some practical things to consider in the current environment. And we'll get to that after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, those who are looking for the next concert to attend, well, there's one coming, it's just a couple weeks away now, April 21st, Sunday night, 7 o'clock at Calvary Church, Albuquerque, Osuna, west of Jefferson. Phil Wickham's coming to town, the I Believe Tour. He's not coming alone. The music of Pat Barrett will be represented. Pat's going to be there. Benjamin and William Hastings as well, and details are on the web at transparentproductions.com. We've got about 8 minutes and the full hour today with Brian Cochran, our Friday Financial Update. Brian with John Moore Associates. Go to johnmoore.com. And again, I've mentioned it several times, the content that we share weekly, monthly. If it's not there already, it's headed to the Insights tab on the website at johnmoore.com. Brian, for those who may have just tuned in, If you could give a synopsis of where we've been in this hour, and how we're going to put it, how we're going to tie it all together.
Yeah, so we started by talking about how the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, is a group of 12 people that dictate the federal funds rate, which ripples through the economy in good ways and bad ways, and it makes interest higher on credit cards and other variable rate debts, so that hurts us if we're using debt, and then it also gives us a higher yield on our savings instruments, so it helps us if we're a saver. And they do that with the objective of slowing the economy as a way to beat inflation. And we all know that that's been a big challenge. So the question now is where will they go next? Will they keep rates the same, or might they decrease rates in the next year? Not many people are talking about going higher from here, but the question is how long will they maintain the current relatively high interest rates compared to what we've experienced the last 15 years or so? So what we'll talk about now is advice. I mean, what do we do with this? And everybody's situation is different, but there's a few sort of overarching principles that we're using with a lot of the families we serve. And the first thing I would say is don't look to the Federal Reserve for any certainty as to what they're going to do next. And the reason I start with that is a lot of people are following these Federal Reserve meetings and announcements and interviews looking for a hint of what's going to happen next, but they are as bad at predicting the future as any of us. The reason we know that is the Federal Reserve regularly issues what's called the dot plot. And that's where each Federal Reserve member, or the Open Market Committee members, they sort of place a vote of where they think interest rates will be in a year, 2 years, 3 years, and they mark where they think rates are going to be. And they're rarely spot on. They tend to overestimate or underestimate the interest rates that are coming down the pipe. So the reason I say that is it's very important that we never look to one source as some sort of a prophecy or prediction as to what's going to happen.
I mean, it's like the odds makers in Vegas. I mean, if they were right, we'd all be rich.
Yep.
Before I get the letters, not that we're going to the odds makers and laying our bets in Vegas, but.
Yep. So I think that's important because some people looked at that and they try to make significant financial swings based on what is projected to be the interest rate in a year or two. And rather than do that, what we believe is hedging and diversifying and being smart.
Which is what is, this is where we're getting to the transcendent content that is delivered from CKA on a regular basis, because it's based on biblical values. Mm-hmm. There's not really a super secret way to be successful other than to apply what we gather from God's word.
And scripture's clear. We're not supposed to go to the get-rich-quick speculative things. We're supposed to build our wealth through steady plotting and wise management, not through hasty speculation. And so what does that look like in the interest rate world? I'll use an example of what we're advising for many of our clients. If you have a generous savings balance right now, money that you don't want to place at risk in investments such as stocks or real estate, places where loss of principal is a distinct possibility. So this is money that you might spend in the next 12 to 24 months. Right now, as we talked about, you can get a good yield on those types of savings. But what we see is a lot of people are just keeping all that money in an online savings or a money market fund. There's trade-offs to that.
I mean, not that it's necessarily that high a volume, but even a checking, you know, maybe is there maybe sometimes more in a checking account where it could be sitting in one of these savings.
Yeah. And you've heard, anyone who's listened to our segments knows that I've been pushing for people to put money in online savings and money markets. So you might be going, wait a minute, Brian, you know, I remember the last year, you've been saying put money in those places. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's changing is if there's a risk that the Fed will start to cut rates, the yield you earn on those liquid places like money markets and savings will drop as the Federal Reserve drops the rates.
Which is, I mean, really what we've been used to, other than in the last couple of years.
Yep. So what we've coached some clients to do if they have enough cash is if you need money the next year, next 9 months, great. Keep it in the liquid places. But if it's money you need in 2 years, or if it's safe money that you can spread out for 3, 4, 5 years, this may be a good time to hedge by locking in either bonds, treasury bills, CDs, instruments where you have a preservation of principal and an interest rate that is guaranteed to pay you, you know, for the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Some annuities can do this as well. But that's what we're looking at right now. The trade-off of that, though, is you're giving up some liquidity, but you actually earn less yield on a one-year CD right now than you earn on a money market fund that's liquid. It's what we call an inverted yield curve, where you get paid less the further you go out with your instruments. So people are resistant to that because they say, why would I give up a 5.25% money market fund to buy a 5% CD that I can't touch for a year? Well, you'll be very happy you had that 5% CD if the economy slows this year and all of a sudden rates are cut by 2 or 3%, and you're sitting in a 5% CD and maybe that money market's now paying 3 or 2. So if that makes sense, that hedging by placing some money locked in for the future.
It's what you know as opposed to what you don't.
Exactly.
Really.
And there are some circumstances where that ends up being the right decision, some wrong, but that's diversification. Diversification, we often say diversification is defined by saying that I as an advisor should always have to apologize for something in a client's portfolio. Because if everything's on the same bet and you either all win or all lose, that you're not diversified. So that is one thing to do is if you have savings, great. Make sure it's first in a money market or savings account that's getting at least 4.5% in this environment. Second, consider your timeline for those dollars. And then third, consider locking in the yields by either buying bonds, treasuries, you know, treasury bills, CDs, things like that. And that can guarantee a competitive rate for the foreseeable future. The second thing, some of you are saying, I don't have savings, I have debt. This is still going to be an environment for the foreseeable future, most likely, where the interest rates will remain relatively high. So if you have a credit card, a home equity line of credit, you know, be very cautious about adding balances to that and do everything you can to decrease those balances. Because even if the Fed starts cutting rates, there's a good chance that's still going to be a high rate relative to, again, what we've seen the last 15 years. So, you know, reducing those rolling debts, and that's an evergreen principle, is to limit your debts.
Yeah.
But there might be more of a sense of urgency. I wouldn't count on those debts being much less expensive in the future.
All right. Brian, we're pretty much out of time, but I want to throw it back to you. A 30-second putting a bow, you know, anything else? I don't want to cut you off.
No, I would just say, as you've mentioned several times, if you want a more in-depth understanding of this, or if you just caught a few minutes of our segments, definitely look at the Insights page for some more information. And that's searchable too. So we have several posts on interest rates from over the years. It's been really fun to put that together. And then we also have a video where we talked about the last 3 years' economic circumstances and all the things that the lessons we've learned from the last 3 years, timeless principles that we've drawn out.
All right. Insights tab at johnmoore.com. Brian Cochran's been our guest for the full hour from John Moore Associates. Brian, have a great week and look forward to our Friday financial update 1 week away.
Sounds great.
All right. Have a great weekend and join us Monday on ABQ Connect.